Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, bring on the fire.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're psyched as I am, get up! Yeah!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
And I'm not mad at Mitch Trubisky. I am frustrated when you had two proven quarterbacks that were ahead of him in a draft where you drafted up to select.
No, wait.
It's not his
fault. Tony, Campy, I'm going to need a ruling here. Is Layla allowed to talk about the fact that the Bears traded 2 3s and a 4 to move up so that they could take Mitchell Trubisky ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes?
Yes.
Of course I am.
They did the same thing for Anthony Miller and Dave Montgomery.
No. Don't bring that up.
You can't talk about how they...
Just like you couldn't bring up regression. You can't bring it up.
I can't talk about the 2 2 3s and 2 4s they traded just to trade up for those three guys?
Let's completely ignore the past and then wonder why franchises are ahead of others.
No. You can't talk about that they missed the chance for possibly the greatest quarterback who's ever lived.
Make me a bicycle clown!
We had a wonderful time yesterday with Layla Rahimi. It's really terrific, like, having her here in studio. And Layla hosts a baseball show, so she basically was like, I get the chance to talk football? Ah! She was still mad while we were in the commercial break after her segment was over.
She was mad in this room during transition.
Didn't she come into the studio and just start throwing Bears facts at you guys too?
Yes.
That's so great. I love it. You're fired up. People are fired up. Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Mitchell Trubisky is supposed to speak in a few minutes. Usually, it's usually around like 12:10, 12:15, but we will go live up to Hallis Hall and let you hear from the quarterback for the Bears for a little bit. I'm sure Tony will do some sort of counting exercise on that, and we'll have a little bit of fun with it. I have a couple of questions because we're going to wait for Mitch, and there's a lot of Mitch stuff that we want to do and Bears stuff overall. And you can text in if you want at 670-11. I'm going to talk with Tony and White Chocolate, a.k.a. Rick Camp, about this. What are we allowed to talk about? And here's another question. If you're thinking about the Bears, if you have decided that you are going to turn on the score today to hear what the score guys say about the Chicago Bears, what is at the front of your mind when it comes to the Bears? I'll wait. What are you thinking about when it comes to the Bears versus Washington on Monday night? Now, if you're telling me that you're thinking about Khalil Mack getting some Case Keenum action, I agree. That's probably going to happen. But the thing that's at the top of your mind is the thing that's at the top of anyone who's a fan of football's mind. It's, how's the quarterback going to do? And now, over the last couple of games, there's been some evidence that the quarterback hasn't picked up things in this season as quickly as maybe he did, maybe they thought they were going to. Does it mean that Mitch is a bust? No, I don't believe that. I also think, and I was talking with Parkins about this yesterday during transition, when I brought up the name Ryan Tannehill and he clutched his pearls that I would compare Mitch to Ryan Tannehill, Ryan Tannehill has had 3 seasons where he's thrown for 4,000 yards. has a career passer rating of 87.5. I think that...
And's been to the playoffs without an elite defense.
Correct. Thrown for, what, 20,000 in the league in his career? If you play that, if you played an 87.5 passer rating, which is his career passer rating, and you have an elite defense, you can end up being fine. I still hold out some hope that the player that we saw for most of last year is still in there. But the thing is that it's not in a vacuum. Mitch's development as it pertains to the Bears is not in the vacuum of what they do at practice. You have to look at what's happening in games. How do they react to it? How does Matt Nagy make him better? That's something that is put upon the coach. That if you feel like you have a guy who's got physical skills, and I think there's one thing that we can say definitively about Mitch is that he has a lot of physical attributes to play the position of quarterback. If you've already got that, then you have to figure out a way. You have to fife and tip, find a way to make him better at what it is that he does. But this idea of, I can't believe you guys are talking about Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah, that's what we do here. That's what you signed up for. It's Bears season. And the Bears quarterback didn't develop the way that most people thought. You guys are out here on Instagram calling that guy daddy on Bears post. But when he plays bad, we're not... Why are you laughing, Tony? It's the truth. Mitch Trubisky has on a cowboy hat headed into Denver. Bears by a million. But if he doesn't play well, we have to talk about it. It's the most pressing issue with the Bears. That doesn't mean that there aren't other issues. Trust me, the managerial stuff with the Cubs just got real interesting in the last 72 hours. And there's 10 games left. 7 of them are against the Cardinals. They start tonight, and the Cubs missed a major opportunity last night, losing 3-2. Plus, later on in the show, Tony's got smoke for Kyle Schwarber. Lots of smoke. And I agree with him on that. It's a fast and hard rule on this show. If you're going to point to the dugout and be like, I got a double, I got a triple, you're going to bat flip, you're going to stare, then when the pitcher gets you out, you can't be mad when they celebrate. That's our rule. We're here for baseball fun. We are not the baseball police. And if Amir Garrett wants to fist pump and moonwalk, do running man, whatever else he wants to do after striking you out, you gotta wear it.
Also, we've seen Amir Garrett take it there if you want to take it there.
I don't think you do.
He's a stay ready all-star. So,
yeah, I don't think you want to take it there. And his reaction was hilarious. But my point is, my larger point on this whole thing is we're going to have these discussions. And If you're uncomfortable with the discussions, I don't know where else you're going to go and act like you're not going to find them unless you completely leave the genre of Chicago sports talk, and specifically Chicago sports talk about the Bears. You want to go listen to Neil Brennan's podcast? Be my guest. But you can't tell me that on Sunday when you were watching the Bears game that it wasn't the thing that was on your mind constantly. Why isn't this look right? Why doesn't the Bears offense look like it looked last year? Is Mitch getting better? Is he regressing? Have defenses caught up to Matt Nagy? All of this stuff was going through your mind on Sunday. And it damn sure was the Thursday before with Green Bay. So yeah, that means that we have to revisit the draft. That means that we have to revisit decision-making. That means that we can also look forward, because I look forward to Washington's game and I say, here is a get right opportunity for the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That defense is no good. You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. They aren't. This could look like Tampa last year, and it'll make everyone feel better for a couple days until you're like, oh, they play Minnesota next. How's that going to look? But it could also serve as a spark for Mitch to be like, okay, we've had some success. We started slow last year. Now we're cooking. I see what everyone wants me to see.
And we're completely prepared to root for that when it happens, to appreciate just as much smoke that we're giving Pace and Nagy and Mitch before, you know, these next two games. We're fully prepared to give them their praise if it looks correct.
Yes.
If it happens, though.
Well, now it kind of feels like it's not, but it still could. The possibility still exists. Like, I don't like the fact that there are people, and you know me, I've been as critical as anybody. I don't like that he's already been labeled bust by some, because that doesn't feel right. And I don't mean just because there's only two games of the season. And that's the other thing. Most of our arguments are not based on just the Packers game and the game against Denver. There's more going on here going back into last season, where you saw the offense change and it looks different now with Mitch. So we're going to let you hear from Mitch coming up in a little bit. When he steps to the podium, we will take you out there. This segment is being brought to you by Chicago Gourmet. Get ready for gourmet food and belly laughs. The Jeff Comedy Jam, I see what they did there, hosted by world's funniest chef, Jeff Morrow, features sets from top comedians, including Chicago's own Pat Tomasulo. My man Tomasulo gonna go do a set. He's really funny if you haven't seen him in stand-up, by the way. As well as drinks and delicious eats from great local chefs. All at Theater on the Lake Thursday night, September 26th. Tickets at chicagogourmet.org. We're going to take a break. We're going to let you hear from the quarterback of the Bears next here on The Score. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Let's go up to Halas Hall. We're going to let you hear from your quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky is at the microphone, and Tony is going to be counting.
Mitch, what impresses you about the Washington defense you're going to face?
Yeah, for sure. They got a good front, and they got some good pieces in the back end. They get after the offenses a little bit, but I think they got some openings where we could have some success on offense this week. But I think the main focus for us is just to focus on us and really detail what we got going on offense and just lock in on what we got to do.
We've been able to see where the holes are on third down. They've been particularly leaky on third down.
Yeah, so we got our third down plan going in tomorrow, so we'll study more of that tonight. But that's definitely a huge focus up for us, because we haven't been that good on third down with the conversion rates and what we got going. So we definitely want to lock in on that. And I think the focus for us is just playing fast on third down, communicating, and then making sure everyone's in the exact right spot in the right time, and then I'm going the right place with the football. So that's a huge focus on us, and we'll study more of their third down tape tonight and tomorrow.
Did you get a sense for what a truly established running game with David can mean for you in the passing game, the opportunities that will be there?
Yeah, I think a balanced offense, I think, in a steady running game always opens up shots in the pass game. So getting the running backs going, pounding the ball with David, and getting the O-line going, letting them come off the ball and do their thing, I think it just keeps the defense honest and hopefully sucks those defenders up, and we could open some stuff up with play action and shots downfield. So, yeah, that's where we want to be at as a balanced attack.
Obviously the offense – go ahead.
Did you get a sense of his comfort, David's comfort, with the steady runs and the, you know, kind of the steady repetition?
Yeah, definitely. I think as a rookie, just coming into the NFL, the more reps you get and the more touches you get in the game, the more comfortable as you get going on. And I, running a little bit like I do, I can say the same thing. The more reps you get as running and as the season goes on, you get more and more comfortable in the game that you want the ball in your hands, just to see the holes, hit it, and do what he does best is run the ball.
Mitch,
Mitch, obviously the offense isn't clicking like I'm sure you guys want. How is your confidence right now?
It's good. It's good. You just got to believe, like, this week is going to be the week. So we haven't been executing the way we want to. There's definitely some things that we're missing on film, but we're coming together, and we're correcting them. And the most important thing to me is that my guys still believe in me. I believe in myself, and that we're one unit. We're together. We're sticking together. And we're going to do what we got to do to correct it. And we got to believe that, like, this offense can explode at any minute because of the playmakers and the special guys we have in the locker room. So we just got to keep believing in that, believe in the plan, have a great week of practice, and then go out there and execute it on game day. That's most important. So it's great to have great practices during the week, but you got to make sure you're performing on game day and making those plays for your team. So I'm feeling good about where we're at, and you just got to believe that, like, this is the week, and, you know, we can go on from there.
What did you learn last year about what you need to do as the offense as a whole tries to kind of find its identity and find its footing early in the season?
For sure. I think for me, it's kind of being a mediator between what our guys are feeling and coach, because I talk the most with coach about what guys are comfortable with, what they're feeling, what they like and what they don't like, and just where we're at as an offense and where we want to go. So we kind of had this last year in the beginning of the season where we had some offensive struggles on third down, not clicking, and we got a couple guys in some new spots, and obviously we added some new pieces. So there's some we're not clicking the way we want to. And we saw a little bit of that last year, but I think we have that faith and just that strong core that believes, like, if we just continue to do our jobs, like, work even harder, get in the film room a little more and study our game plan and just go out there and play the game that we know how to do and make sure that I'm doing my job and getting the ball to the playmakers, that we can be the explosive offense that we saw at times throughout last year, and that the offensive struggles or whatever you want to call it is a thing of the past, and hopefully that's not us anymore.
What are those discussions like between you and Coach Nagy as you try to get this identity?
What are they like?
Yeah.
Just open and honest, just telling them what I'm like, what the guys like, what they're comfortable with, if, like, certain receivers like certain routes or if they don't like certain routes, or if we need more play action or more running the ball or taking more shots or just more quick game. Just having those conversations, being open and honest and getting a good feel about what we're comfortable with, what I'm comfortable with, and what coach envisions this offense to be. But the most important thing is just guys just believing in the plan and then going out there and doing their jobs. And we talk about all the time about how it's a special group, just like really great guys. But we got to make sure that everyone's just continue sticking together, going out there, doing their jobs, and everyone's on the same page.
Matt talked a lot about the explosive plays. Like, that's a big thing for him this week, just having hit on those big plays. From your perspective, how does it complicate things for you when that big play threat just hasn't been there for the first two games?
Yeah, you have the defense. I mean, last week they were definitely trying to keep everything in front of them. Coach Fangio is known for that. They were kind of letting us run a little bit and not let anything go over their heads. And we had a couple plays where we almost had an explosive pass or an explosive play. And once you get one or two of those, I think it really opens up everything else you're doing on offense. So it takes all 11 guys to have an explosive play, whether it's like on the CP's run last week, everyone making great blocks, him getting to the outside, really just a simple outside sweep play. But if everyone does their job, it can go the distance like it did. So it can be simple passes, guys breaking tackles, me putting the ball in the right spot so guys can run with it after catch. So it really takes all 11 guys, and we just got to believe that those explosive plays are coming.
You made a lot of those big plays in your career moving outside the pocket. You almost had Tariq on that one early in the game.
Right, that would have been huge.
Sure. Are teams, are they trying to pin you in more this year, the first two games?
I think it's hard to tell only being the first two games, but I think teams definitely take notice that I could extend plays with my feet, and maybe they're trying to box it in, just keep me in the pocket and make me make plays from there. But like we saw in the first drive of the Denver game, I got out of the pocket and we almost had a huge play to start which would have been a huge third down conversion, and then we would have been in the red zone on the other side. So I think we're really close to having those plays, and I'm just going to continue to just evaluate when I need to get outside the pocket, extend plays, and keep plays alive. But it's also just being smart, taking care of the football, and doing that kind of thing. So we did a good job taking care of the football this week, but we definitely want to see those explosive plays. And I think me extending plays and getting outside the pocket can definitely open that. And the guys got to know that once I move, I'm looking to pass first. I'm not looking to run. So we got to do a better job on scrambling drill, getting open, and just making the play.
Mitch, as you play with a touchdown to check down mentality, when teams are backing their safeties off and trying to take those deep shots away, what can you do to generate shots down the field? And what's the challenge for you in sort of accepting that if they're taking it away, maybe you have to do something else?
For sure. A lot of the time it's patience. And then setting it up with what we're doing in the offense and try to trick them. And then sometimes it just comes down making a play, giving our guy a chance and saying that our playmakers are better than yours and putting in an area where our guys can go catch it. There's a couple balls last week I wish I had back because I just didn't give our guys a chance. But I think we can do a better job of just making those plays when we get the opportunity and me giving them the opportunity. So, yeah, just being patient, giving our guys chance, and calling more of those shots, I guess.
Mitch, this offense seems to work best when the tight end is a big part of it. What is it about Trey Burton on the field, in the huddle, that is kind of a security blanket or just a comfort, puts you in a comfort zone as an offense?
Yeah, for sure. So quarterback, Trey having his quarterback background, he's just another quarterback mind in the huddle, helping guys get lined up, communicating personnel, what we got going, where guys need to be. And he's just got that calmness about him that guys really get going or are motivated when he's in the game. And he's still coming back. And getting healthier and stronger and better, so the more we can get him involved and get him in the game, it just helps get guys lined up, and guys seem to play better because the defense has to take notice that Trey's in the game, and I think it just opens up more one-on-one thing, and he also gets open for me.
Over the course of the game, could you see that he will be a bigger factor this week than last week? You know, could you see that he's making progress?
Yeah, I think...
Health-wise, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, a big thing in this league, it all comes down to guys are healthy and they get stronger. And as the season goes on, if he's getting better and better, I see him to be more of a focal point of this offense and a huge part of this offense, either getting the ball or opening up other guys. And he definitely does a great job just helping everybody get set and allowing us to play great team football on offense.
That being said, without obviously giving away the game plan, how do you involve more of your receivers, more of your playmakers going forward?
Yeah, I think just everyone knowing the game plan, being interchangeable in their spots, and then just me making the right decisions. So we just want to have a great week of practice and just make sure that everyone's sticking together, which we are, and that we believe in the plan. So we just got to study it a little bit more this week and meet a little bit more and go over the plan, communicate it, and then just go out there and believe and make these plays.
All right, that'll about wrap it up for the Mitchell Trubisky press conference. Man, he went on a roll there at the end of that thing.
Double jeopardy.
He really did. At the end, he was like, let me throw out every single
it's
one.
The end of the fireworks show. I mean, you're getting that no, grand you're right. finale.
Am I in the wrong in saying that instead of people doing the 15-minute, 20-minute fireworks show, just shoot them all. Give me 3 minutes of greatness, and I'll be like, wow, and then I'll leave.
Well, it may be a safety concern firing all of them at the same time. Like, I don't know. I'm just assuming. I'm not an expert.
You mean like when the fireworks shops catch on fire?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure
those are the best fireworks shows ever. It doesn't even matter if it's daytime when those things happen. There were a couple things I thought were interesting, and one of them made the brow of white chocolate Rick Camp furl. And that's when Mitch was talking about being a mediator between the guys on the team and the coach. Why did that bother you so much?
It wasn't necessarily that specific. It was just, for me, wasn't that paired with the comment about, receivers getting open and making sure that, like, they're really trying to make him that conduit in between and having him be the coach on the field. But, I mean, if it's not happening, then just like the game plan, you got to take over some of that as well and make sure at least everybody knows where they should be.
I didn't like when he was talking about the scramble drill and he's saying, we got to do a better job of getting open on that. I'm like, the quarterback position when it comes to press conferences is if things go wrong, it's on you. If things go right, it's everyone else. And we're starting to drift into areas of people blaming other people.
Now he's involving everybody on the field.
Well, I mean, I'll even go back to Nagy on Monday where he name checks Allen Robinson. Oh, well, you guys didn't see it. If you saw on the all 22 look, Allen didn't run the right route. He's got to flatten that route out more. And he knows that. Okay.
Oh, another thing that I thought was interesting for Mitch. Did you guys notice that he talked about the Denver game?
He did.
It's interesting. And he had some thoughts about that game and sharing those thoughts with people. I mean, that's important. You want to kind of learn from what happened before. But by the way, Pete Futek would like to yell at me about Mitchell Trubisky at 1 o'clock. So I'm going to give him that opportunity to do so. And then I'm going to remind him of who he had ranked number one for quarterbacks in 2017 draft. Hint, it wasn't Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, or Deshaun Watson. So be ready for that at 1 o'clock today. There's some baseball. I'm going to leave the Mitch stuff here for now. All right, Tony, you okay with that?
That's fine.
White Chocolate, you all right with that? We'll get back to it. There's some baseball stuff that I would like to address. I would like to talk about Joe Madden and Joe Madden's future, the fact that there are 10 games left. The Cubs still have a chance at the division, although they shot themselves in the foot last night with the opportunity not only to gain ground on the Cardinals, but gain ground on the Nats as well. So I would like to talk about that. And I want to let you hear from Jed Hoyer a little bit too, because he was on the station today. There's a report out about who might be the next Cubs manager. I will talk to you about that. We will discuss it all next here on The Score. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champions return to Ryan Field this Saturday when they host Michigan State. Kickoff is set for 11 a.m. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. I'm Lawrence Holmes, by the way. This is my show. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. I'm going to yell at Pete Futek at 1 because he's got Mitchell thoughts because he's an avid listener of the show. We like Futek. He's on the podcast, the college football podcast with Shep, which is really good, by the way. Shep's doing some cool things with the college football podcast. Check it out. Along with checking out my podcast, I got 8, but I do one for here called Loho Daily. And today I delve into fantasy sports as a business with my buddy Albert Chen of Sports Illustrated, who wrote a whole book about the rivalry between FanDuel and DraftKings. It's really, really good. There's also a pod on there from yesterday that you, if you're a baseball historian, about Effa Manley, and you're like, who's Effa Manley? Look up Effa Manley. Fascinating. Or just listen to our podcast that me and Shakia Taylor did on Effa Manley. One of the more interesting stories in the history of baseball. Speaking of baseball, Bob Nightingale is a reporter, columnist for USA Today. I believe he's stationed here in Chicago. He breaks news. He sometimes has opinions and sometimes gets the story right. I give you all of that to tell you what he wrote lately, because it concerns your Chicago Cubs. And then we'll have a non-denial denial, and we'll hear from the general manager of the Cubs about some of this stuff. Nightingale went and wrote for USA Today. He was doing a whole thing about managerial changes, like looking at some of the jobs that are going to change between now and the beginning of next year. He wrote this about Joe Madden and the Cubs. The biggest surprise in Chicago this winter will be if David Ross is not named the next manager by Thanksgiving. The Cubs have been preparing Ross, who helped lead them to the 2016 World Series championship in 4 consecutive division titles, to the heir apparent. And although bench coach Mark Loretta can't be completely ruled out, they believe Ross will be the perfect fit. Wait a minute. I want to read that sentence again, because I think there's a lack of accuracy in it. I'm going to read this again. The Cubs have been preparing Ross, who helped lead them to the 2016 World Series championship in 4 consecutive division titles. That's not right, because he hasn't been here for a couple years. Did he mean Joe? Anyway, he thinks that David Ross is going to be the next manager. He's not crazy thinking that. There are a lot of people who have speculated that if they move on from Joe, they want one of their own. They want someone who's been in that clubhouse before. It could end up being David Ross. That's not insane. He goes on to write, and just in case there was any lingering doubt about where Madden stands,
Cubs president Theo Epstein took the airwaves last week on his radio show and threw shade at Madden. Quote, honestly, we've been essentially a 500 team for months now. If you go back 12, 13 months, it's just been marked by underachievement, uninspired play, close quote. We played that cut for you here from Theo. I didn't think of it as Joe shade. I felt like it was, we've been bad. There's no denying our record. And wasn't it in the context of him talking about there are no excuses because of injuries and things like that? So I didn't particularly think of it as shade. He went on to speculate, as others have, that if Joe were to get fired, a place that he might land could be Philadelphia because they'll fire their manager. There. Everything's square. You got it all set up. Cool. Well, now that that's out there for everyone and you understand what Bob's reporting or opinion is, because I feel like this is a hybrid here. This isn't a straight news story. This is a column with news tidbits in it. Here's what Jed Hoyer had to say about this. I thought Dan did some really good questioning on the report and getting a thought from Jed about where things stand with Joe Madden.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think that in general, I think that the team, Joe himself, the coaching staff, I think they do a good job, you know, compartmentalizing all those things. And, you know, I look at it every year. There's a number of players in contract years or a number of players with uncertain futures. I think players, you know, are far more to worry about that than anything else, you know, as far as worrying about themselves and their own situation. And that said, they do an incredible job, I think, of focusing on the task at hand. You know, I think that it's not easy to go to work every day as a player with some uncertainty. And every year there's some guys like that. And they put it out of their mind. They block it out and they play for the Cubs, and then they know that, you know, the off season will sort of determine some of those things. So I think players do a wonderful job of blocking out distractions because they're sort of practicing that sort of by the nature of the game.
Does it become a different task, though, or a little bit, does it feel somewhat different when it comes with the legacy attached to Joe Madden, the way you guys have all kind of created that legacy together, winning a World Series in 2016?
I think that might matter to you know, to us. You know, I think we obviously, you know, want to, you know, continue to have that run of playoff appearances and that sustained success. You know, I think it matters to, you know, people that have been here for the whole time. But I feel like that's the kind of thing you look back on, you know, 10, 15 years from now. I don't, in the moment, I don't think anyone really cares. I think it's about making the playoffs so we can get that chance to be the hot team in October. I just don't think things like legacies or things like playoff streaks or things like that, I don't think that's relevant to anyone in the clubhouse at this point. Like I said, those are things that people talk about, you know, much, much down the road when the whole book has been written. I think right now we're trying to write it.
From the outside, people have observed that, well, if Madden's performance this year, the team's performance, and therefore the job that he does is part of the evaluation in the decision for the future. Is that true? Is there anything that's going on that he has done this year or is doing right now that could change his stars?
Yeah, I mean, I think all year we've said that, you know, we're not going to comment on his you know, his job. We're going to talk about this at the end of the season, and it's the same thing. And I'd say that, you know, for all of us, I think that I think you're always looking at the total body of work, and I think you're always looking at what's happened, you know, most recently. But I think that's for everyone. I mean, I think that you're talking about players that way, you're talking about coaching staff that way, and you're talking about front office staff that way. So, no, I mean, I think that I think everyone is evaluated based on what most recently happened in the context of a larger career. I think that's sort of the way everyone gets thought of and evaluated at all times.
Before we move on to other things, Bob Nightingale of the USA Today put out a story today that says the Cubs have been preparing David Ross, who helped lead them to the 2016 World Series championship, to be the heir apparent for the managerial job. He goes on to say the biggest surprise in Chicago will be if David Ross is not named the manager by Thanksgiving. So he put a name, he put a timeline on it. Is he right?
I mean, that's something, of course, I'm never going to comment on. I just said that we've not talked about, that topic the entire year. We're going to talk about it at the end of the year. If you guys want to have Bob Nightingale on to talk about it, you guys can certainly do that. But asking me that question with 10 games left, I mean, of course I'm not going to give that any credence.
I understand that. Had to ask it nonetheless.
I agree that he had to ask that question. Jed's answer was fine. I would have preferred he go, no, that's ridiculous. We're not thinking about 2020. We're trying to figure out what happens in 2019. I wish that his pushback would have been a little more strident, that he would have just been like, no, we got 10 games left. The Cardinals, we're going to play in them for 7 of them. They're in town tonight. There have been no decisions made about 2020 because we're not done with 2019 yet. I was listening to it live. I'm like, that is not a denial. Any hoozle. Ooh, some breaking news on the superhero front. This is like me going squirrel right now while we're in the middle of this very heavy conversation. Apparently, after some negotiations, Tom Welling is going to put back on the Superman suit and be Clark Kent for a little while in some of the CW's crossover stuff. Yes. Somebody save me. We needed that. I'm glad. Good for him. All right, back to Joe Maddon and his status. We've all been sitting here like wondering whether or not Joe is going to be back and what the Cubs do if they do move on from him. And David Ross makes as much sense as anybody else who could end up being in that spot. There was something that happened on Tuesday's conversation with Joe. Tony, I don't even remember the question that was asked because it was from a listener. What was the question? Do you remember?
I believe the question was,
what's like the best lesson that you learned
that people learn too late?
Okay. A listener asked Joe, what's the best lesson that people learn too late? Listen to his response.
The grass isn't always greener, brother. It's not always greener. I mean, we always think it's a better something somewhere else. And that's the one thing I learned early on. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. It's an old concept or thought, but I think that most people do believe that. You need to make best of what you got and where you're at in your existence. And when you're always wishing and hoping, don't wish and hope in your life away, man. Live the present tense. If you're always living in the future, brother, this whole thing blows right by you. And that's a sad existence. So the grass isn't greener, and please live in the present tense.
That was Joe Maddon on Tuesday's show. And you can take from that what you will. My feelings on this are pretty clear. I think that they're better together than they are apart. I get that a lot of organizations now are going away from managers like Joe. Guys with big personalities and guys with big paychecks. If I had to bet, I would bet that the Cubs aren't going to win the World Series this year. But stranger things have happened, and they're in position to make it to the playoffs this year again. And they won 3 divisions and a wild card, not 4 like Bob had in that piece. I don't know how this is all going to play out. I do know that it seemed, everything that's happened this year between Theo, Jed, and Joe, it's felt as if we're headed towards them not working together anymore. It's felt that way. In the end, though, we could all end up being wrong, and that maybe things are fine. Maybe they are taking the body of work collected before this season, and then they already have their feelings about that. And then adding it to how this year went with new edicts that they put down for Joe at the beginning of the season. And Joe has seemingly complied with. He's been more involved. They wanted him more involved in spring training. He has been that. Theo has often talked about the concept of there's an expiration date on everything. He included himself in that. And maybe that you've gotten to the expiration date with Joe Maddon as manager. I still think that that guy is one of the best managers in the game. I think if he is not re-signed, it will be a matter of days before he has another opportunity, whether that is in Philadelphia or with the Mets or, don't listen, Ricky, on the south side of Chicago. There will be things for Joe to do, I think. But it's, the whole thing has been really weird, and I understand where they're coming from. We haven't, we like to gather all the data that we can and then come up with the best possible solution to this. Whether resolution, I shouldn't say solution, resolution to this. Whether Joe comes back or whether we move on and go in a different direction. So that's what's going on. Oh, by the way, the Cardinals and Jack Flaherty are in town tonight. Man, did the Cubs miss an opportunity yesterday. They really did. Extra innings against the Reds. They only had four hits in the game. You got a really decent performance from John Lester. The bullpen was good. And then you don't hit well enough. As much as we were praising Chris Bryant, he's now like started to fall back again, where the binge was good for 6 days and now it seems to be over. But that's not important right now. You know what is? Pete Futek's going to yell at me about Mitchell Trubisky. He's going to do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.